Good morning, everybody. In today's episode, we're going to be doing a user request of hashtag Ask Stephen, if that hashtag existed, because it's in my mind, but not in reality. And the topic we're going to be talking about today is the five love languages and how it kind of works with dyslexia. Does it help us do better? Does it help us understand? Is it clear? We're going to dive into it. Okay, so this question comes all the way from Chicago, and it was a really good topic, and I thought, hey, yeah, it's that time of the year, let's do some fun topics. Now, the question I'll have for you guys is, have you ever heard of the five love languages? What I find many of us have, and the ones that haven't who look it up go, wow, that makes sense. What's so good about this concept is it's simple. It's really, really simple. It's quite a, it's a very visual kind of solution or a way of understanding that helps you understand your partners, your family members, your parents, your anyone you can be in a relationship with. Now, many people use this more specifically for like a partner as a lover kind of relationship or a spouse. But to be honest, this works for everyone. Everyone has love languages. And you can kind of tell it over time in business, with friends. You can kind of see what floats their boat. So if you want to buy presents in the year, it's, if you can work out their love language and you can kind of guess it, you can kind of work it out over time, it can be very useful. So let me dig into it. So the five love languages was written by a guy I can't remember the name of, but, you know, and this is how our minds work. He's got a very American, Central American accent, and his audiobook is really, like, I actually really like his twang of his his American accent. But he was a counselor who kind of dealt with this, and he kept seeing similar patterns before he wrote this book. And the concept is that everyone has different ways of both giving and accepting love. And he came up with five different characteristics. Now, one of them was affirmations. So this is being, you know, kind of words. So I love you. You're so handsome. You're so beautiful. Oh, gosh, you look amazing today. You know, we all know those people who love words. And don't get this wrong. Dyslexics also accept words. Affirmations is one of my love languages. So I really love, I love external praise. It makes me, even though I don't always accept it, it does make me, it helps keep me on track, which is really valuable. So affirmations is one. Gifts is two. This is receiving gifts. So people who love big bunches of flowers and rings and all that stuff. I personally am not a gift person. And it's odd. I think, as I say, a lot of this is speculation, but I would say majority, not all, don't get me wrong, I don't think it's all, but a lot of neurodiverse are less gift orientated. That's my feeling. There's also personal touch, or physical touch, where you know, it's more of the kind of the sexual chemistry. You know, if it's a non that type of relationship, giving someone a hug or a high five, or they're really the person who puts their head on your shoulder and massages it. You know, it's just the way they, you know, they connect with people. It's more physical. Is another way. You've also got service driven people. And I seem to have picked up a lot of partners that really respect this, that are service driven. So what service is if you're with someone and they like to do things for you, that makes them feel good. Where they'll, it could be even washing the car. It could be absolutely anything that's service driven. Like it, sometimes that can also mean, I believe, work. You know, if they go out to work and they feel like they're providing for the family, that's a service they believe they're giving. And then the fifth one is quality time. So spending some really clear quality time with someone, you know, doing something a bit out of the obvious, maybe, you know, just getting away from it, feeling that they've got your attention. Now, those are the people many of us struggle to be with, even especially if we are one of them ourselves, is that quality time is a real hard one, because many of us struggle with focused attention for long periods of time, and we're very good at it at the start of relationships, but we very quickly get bad at it. And I'm just thinking about that now as I say this. It's probably quite true. Many of my relationships, I was amazingly attentive at the beginning, and there before my attention drifted, which is just the way it the way my brain works. It's just the way the old machine ticks along. So for me personally, my two are physical touch and words of affirmation are my two biggest ones. You know, I'm less quality time, I'm less service. You know, it doesn't mean that I don't give my partner quality time or service as well, but it's not something that I accept, if that makes any sense. And this is where the challenges can be in a lot of relationships. If your love languages are very different, like for example, if physical touch and affirmations are my love languages, I will naturally be trained to give those back to the person I'm with. And if their love languages are acts of service or quality time or gifts, we're going to struggle because I'm not going to buy them enough gifts. Or I'm not going to do you know what I mean? I'm not going to do the things they want. If they think service is their thing and I'm not going to get up and, you know, just serve them, you know, that's not my way of dealing with it. You know, it's just not going to work the same way. And I'm also not going to accept it if they use their love languages on me. So I've got a partner that's really service orientated. You know, I'm sure I'll appreciate things being done for me, and it probably will be nice the way my brain works and the things I forget sometimes. But it's not what I would call love. It's not, I wouldn't see that and say, hey, that's a real sign of your love for me. And I've had this challenge in the past where I've had partners, you know, where physical touch was a connection, which was fantastic, but affirmations weren't. So if I was saying really nice things about someone, they didn't really take it in and it wasn't their thing, and they definitely didn't return it. And so for me, my number one love language is affirmations, words of affirmation, oddly for a dyslexic, but we'll carry on. You know, so it's challenging. And many of us are in relationships with not the same type of person as ourselves. And it's a real challenge. And you know, this is the problem with a lot of relationships, is there are so many layers we have to deal with. You know, you've got to, are you guys aligned and where you want to go in the future? Are you going to the same end point? Or are you at least driving down the same similar roads? You know, can you guys communicate in the right way? And this is part of the communication conversation, is, you know, can you accept love from each other once the lust goes down? You know, all these different relationship things can cause challenges. You know, but this love language concept is really interesting. If you listen to his book, it's really good because he gives a lot of examples about how small changes, when you recognize your partner's love language, can make a massive difference. You know, if you realize they're gift orientated, he talks about a great story of a husband who thought, you know, he was doing all the right things with service, but actually she was really gift orientated. It wasn't that she was greedy. It was just the way she's grown up and the way her family showed love and how she learnt love. So he started bringing her a different present, I think once or twice a week, from memory, once a week. He'd bring her flowers. And by the end of the month, when he met with this couple again, she was amazed at what a awesome, you know, change he'd made. And to him, it seemed so minute and it didn't mean the same thing, but he was happy that she was happy, if that makes sense. But that small, small thing changed their relationship, and she started reciprocating in his love language, which was, to be dead honest, I can't remember, but it was something, it was an opposite. And this is what happens with a lot of relationships, is when we start off, we actually are very, especially for dyslexics and ADHD and the whole right-sided mindset, is we can be very, very good at mimicking what the person's wanting. And I see this a lot, and I think I've done podcasts on it before, because it is such a big realization in my life, is that when you start a relationship and you want that person and you're attracted to them, there's something intuitively there and you really desire them, you're very good at becoming the person they've always wanted. And kind of fitting what they think they want, to a point where you can get into a relationship with them, but 6 months down the track, once a bit of the lust and a bit of the initial fire's gone, it's actually a bad relationship for both of you. And I was sitting there chatting with a friend yesterday. I think I mentioned it around getting a coach and you're a mentor, someone you respect who can give you advice. And we were talking about it with his partner and she at the time, and she was, you know, he did the same thing. He became a different person around her, and we could all see it as friends. He couldn't see it from his perspective, but we could all see it stepping back. And I'm sure I do the same thing, is that, you know, it's kind of a false, you think you're happy for a while, and you don't get me wrong, you enjoy the process, but it's, you've got to be very clear, it's not a long-term process. You can't fake your love languages. You can't mimic your way into a loving, caring relationship. You've actually got to be the person you are and be willing that that's not enough or it is enough. And I think for some of us, or many of us that are the side of the coin, is we're not that good at being ourselves. We don't actually have the confidence in who we are to be that person to them. You know, my best friends around, you know, the people that I'm closest to, I'm really myself around, and I accept them 1,000%, they accept me 1,000%. And I think in relationships, when we start off, we can mimic the love languages, we can mimic the communication style very well. We're very intuitive in that way. But it's not manipulation from a negative intention. We don't intend to go, hey, I'm going to manipulate you into a relationship. Wahahaha. I'm going to trick you into falling in love with me. And it's not what we do. We don't sit there thinking about that. Our brains are too quick to even come up with that negative intention. It just happens because, you know, we say that's what I want. My brains go into let's get it mode. Before you know it, you can't work out how you did it, but you got them. And, you know, all I would say is what I've learned being single at the moment is, you know, I'm really taking a lot of time at the moment to think about what I want and to practice being myself around women, you know. And it's hard because it's so non-natural for me because I haven't done it for so long. Like, it's, you know, you put on a character sometimes, and it's not even, you know, you see it when you're really conscious. But to wind that back, you know, there's only a few female friends I have that I'm really open around, and I'm really open around clients because I don't. That's kind of a different relationship. But, you know, from a romantic relationship, being myself is hard. And usually it comes out a lot later in a relationship. And by that time, when you start to see the same people, it becomes very different. I saw this in my dad and my mum, exactly the same. When they got together, it was such a quick relationship connection. They got engaged in 2 weeks. It was mad. It's crazy to think they had 2 children and lasted for 20 odd years before they broke up. But, you know, it's you know, they would have both been neurodiverse. They'd have both enjoyed each other's initial company. They would have been really, yeah, it would have been an amazing initial relationship. And then, yeah, just long term, they realized, oh God, what did I do? I'm sure that's what was going through their heads for majority of their marriage. But, you know, that you've got to be very, very careful, I think. And this is just from my experience. You're welcome to disagree with this. And hey, some people luck out and they get the right person straight away, and they are really open and honest and stuff like that. But what, you know, what I'm going to try this time, and I'll finish on this, guys, is, you know, I'm going to start to spend some more time with women personally and just be friends with them and remove all the pressure, remove all the need to be someone, to feel like I have to be someone I'm not, and try and let it more naturally happen. As opposed to chasing people down on these crazy little apps and, you know, just hoping for another distraction, which 9 times out of 10 it is, where it'll take me down a rabbit hole I don't want to be in. So, yeah, that's kind of changed the topic. But, you know, what I would recommend is if you do get some time over the break and relationships are a challenge, the 5 Love Languages is on Audible. You can get the book if you want. I'm sure there are heaps of videos on YouTube about it. Go and have a little look at it. It might just give you a bit of perspective about your own love languages and also your partner's, because it could be the game changer you want for 2020. Have a epic rest of your day and keep asking me questions. Thanks for all the comments. If you do message us through the Truth About Dyslexia page and we don't get back to you, we've probably just missed it. So do join the Adult Dyslexia Secrets group. It's attached to that page. And everyone's absolutely awesome. The comments are great. It's a real safe environment. And people, you know, I've never seen so many people giving with time to help each other and share their experiences. So thanks everyone for being part of it. And I just hope everyone has an epic 2020. But I'll be back next week with some Christmas themed podcasts.